part of this meeting, all our opposition parties. We have the Democratic Alliance, we have the IFP, we have the Congress of the People, we have the UDM, who has members in this committee, and all of them are not with us today. It's not because they didn't want to, but it's because they had to be elsewhere this morning. I hope the delegation from Sudan will understand that. And with you here, we have the delegation from the African National Congress. I will take this opportunity to introduce who is here. My name is Ruth, and my surname is Mahau. I'm a member of the African National Congress, serving on this portfolio committee, currently as acting chairperson. I hope you have heard that just a few days ago, the government of South Africa has had some reshuffling, and that has also taken some members from the portfolio committee. Our chair has been appointed as the deputy minister of land reform and rural development. That's why I'm in this acting capacity. Then with me on my right, I have the honorable member who will introduce herself. Also, I will give the opportunity to the member on my left to also introduce yourself.
Morning to everybody. My name is Tandile Sunduna. I'm a member of the African National Congress. I am a member of this committee. I'm a member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Thank you. We now know who is here from the side of the ANC and on behalf of the portfolio committee. I will then now hand over to Dr. Yusuf Izzedine to introduce his delegation.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, everybody. I'm Musa Muhammad Ishaq, the Speaker of the 74 Parliament Legislative Council. I'm heading this delegation. I'm very pleased to be with you here in your parliament. As you know, we are from Sudan. Our delegation formed of three Darfur states, besides the Transitional Authority of Darfur and also the national departments and institutions. Well, we have this opportunity to thank the government of South Africa who gave us a chance to be here in South Africa to stand on the performance and to know the performance of what is actually a South Africa addressing the problems of environment and water resources management. And also we have to know the legislations of South Africa that support these activities. We are in Sudan, we have three categories, national government, state governments, and local governments. We have two institutions, national institution, constitution, and also state constitutions. But actually, both are not contradicting each other. We have national conference, parliament, and also we have state legislative councils. Others are formed of 48 persons, representatives for each state. 25% of the parliament are ladies. We are actually performing our legislations according to the constitutions of the national constitution and also the state constitutions. We are very thankful to see you here, and actually we do appreciate the reception of this great delegate in this Congress. We hope we will gain more information about legislations of South Africa that supports environment and water management. Now I introduce my colleagues. I will start from the right.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, everybody. My name is Adam Bakr Bashir, the Undersecretary of the Ministry of Irrigation and Water Resources. That is a federal ministry in Sudan based in Khartoum. First, I must apologize for that. Dr. Salah has not been here for a very urgent duties at the time. We are here. We are very pleased to be here to see the practice of South Africa, especially in the water side, and see the technology which they have undergone, so that we can cooperate together and go forward for the better management of water in both our countries. Thank you very much.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Ibrahim Al-Bukhari. I'm Minister of Agriculture and Forestry in South Darfur State.
Good morning, everybody. With honor and privilege, I would like to introduce myself as Muhammad Ibtisan Al-Tayyib. I'm the chairman of Darfur Reconstruction and Development Fund, that is under what is called TDRA, Regional Darfur Transitional Authority.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Zainab Ahmed Al-Azid, from the Ministry of Local Government, Southern Africa.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Hawa Suleiman Hussein, Minister of Agriculture and Irrigation, Northern Darfur State.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Al-Fadil Ali Adam. Advisor for the Ministry of Environment, Forestry, and Physical Development.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Good morning, everybody. My name is Hassan Muhammad Kaskos, Minister of Water Resources and Environment, South Darfur State.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Good morning, everybody. I am Ibrahim Adam, Deputy Director of Public Water Corporation, Khartoum.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Abdul Karim Hussein. I'm General Secretary of West Darfur State Council for Strategic Planning.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Good morning, all of you. My name is Al-Fatih Abdul Aziz Abdul Nabi. I'm the Minister of Urban Planning.
Good morning for all. I am Muhammad Al-Ajib Ismail, Chairperson of Legal and Legal Affairs and Human Rights Committee, Legislative Council in South Darfur. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Muhammad Suleiman Adam, Development Advisor for Darfur Transitional Authority.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Adam Abdurrahman Ahmed. I'm chairman of Darfur Land Commission.
Good morning, Brendan Bromwich, United Nations Environment Programme.
Good morning, everybody. Cobbing, hydrogeologist, Water Research Commission in Pretoria.
Good morning, Zachary Scholes, Water Research Commission.
Good morning to all. My name is Papa Evans, Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Social Services.
Good morning. My name is Robin Bobby, United Nations Environment Programme.
Okay, thank you. like everybody has introduced himself or herself, and we have just learned that you were here to learn about the legislative processes in relation to environment and water, and we would have maybe arranged, if we had known, we didn't know, we would have arranged for a joint session with our colleagues who are serving in that portfolio where they are dealing with legislation in as far as water and environmental affairs is concerned. Unfortunately, here we deal only with international relations, and as this portfolio committee, we have a lot of interest in what is happening in your country. As you know, that our government is providing a lot of, or is doing a lot of work in Sudan. And as a committee that is exercising oversight over the implementation of our foreign policy, it is of interest to us to know the developments in Sudan, getting it from you. It will be just unfortunate that maybe you would have wanted to hear more about how we legislate our environmental issues and all that, but unfortunately we are not the people to can assist you with that. All what we are interested in is the political situation in your country, so as to enable us, maybe as we engage our government, to provide the necessary advice, having got it from you, as to whether is our government assisting, taking the process to where it will be profitable for all the Sudanese people. For an example, we are aware that your country will be going for a referendum on the 9th of January 2011. Just a few days ago, we had a session in the House where the president was answering questions. One of the questions which was posed by one of our members was the state of readiness in as far as the coming referendum is concerned. The Deputy President has provided us with an answer and we are happy, but we would also want to get it from you as to whether is everything as is supposed to be. That will be maybe one area that we will want you to empower us, so that we should do our work much more informed in future and help you where necessary. And then if there's anything from my colleagues, I will give them an opportunity to maybe raise the issues that they would also want you to respond to. Honorable Malcolm.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think you said it all, and it will be very interesting to know, you know, when it comes to the relationships, because I do see that the South is here when it comes to South and North. I think that will be very good to speak to too. Thank you.
Okay, I'll now hand over to you, Doctor.
Okay, I give the opportunity for Mr. Gheri to sponsor this question.
I think it's a chance to provide more than an idea. So mine will be like this. If asked about the referendum is coming soon, and what does that mean, or how do we perceive it actually going? From my perspective, I think the issue now on the table is the demarcation, the completion of the demarcation before that day of referendum. And I think that is very critical. The international community at large is also very much concerned. The Sudanese people are also concerned, because the chances for a united Sudan or two countries, chances are more or less equal, at least at this moment, let's say that. So by the time we have the result of the referendum, if the outcome is that we have two countries and the issue of the borders or the demarcation has not been sorted out, then I think that's a signal for a new tension and maybe war also. Because it is not only the demarcation. If we see the activities on the ground, you see people moving. Those are the herders. We have settlers. There are all the relations and traditions governing the way people interact among themselves. But if it happens to be two countries, that activity by itself, which would, for me, would be out of the control of the government, and also the government in North Sudan and South Sudan, if that is the outcome of the referendum, that will then signal a new course of conflict and continuous unrest. So I think from my perspective, I see our colleagues at the international community also reinforcing that issue of let's complete the demarcation before the referendum, because that means the outcome will then be smooth. I mean, that's at least one scenario. And what is now loudly spoken in Sudan are three basic scenarios. If the referendum goes smooth and we have the demarcation completed, then we will have two states, and it will become easy for those who are dealing with the issue to sort out the relation between the two neighboring countries. And if the second scenario, which could be that not everybody is happy with what is going, because of the conflict of interest, there are border tribes, border businesses, they might not be happy with the outcome of the referendum if it happens to be a separation, and that will create a bit of a tension. But if we have the borders clear, then at the local level things can be sorted out. And the third scenario, the worst case one, is when the conflict continues, irrespective of the outcome of the referendum, because of people might not be happy with the outcome. And that then signals also the importance of the international community to help people sort out what's all going on the borders. So I think from my perspective, this is my personal reaction to that question. I think I would always say the border, completion of the borders as a prerequisite for having that referendum in place. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to add a few words to what my colleague Dr. Ibrahim said. And just I will convey the commitment of the central government towards the referendum. So the national government or central government confirms that the referendum will take place in time. This is beyond doubt. Second, also, they confirm that the two parties, the national government and the South Sudan government, they confirm that the referendum will be peacefully. Also, they confirm that the South Sudan citizens will have full freedom to make their choice, whether they like to continue with the northern part as one government, or they want to have their own country. They have the freedom to make their choice. Then central government assured that they will accept the choice of the people of the South, whether that choice is one united country or two neighboring countries. And also, there are some issues under discussion so far. One of those issues is the demarcation of the boundaries between the South and the North according to the 1956 boundary between the two parts of the country. And sometimes they are saying the time left is enough to make, because this demarcation is almost completed up to 80% on papers, and now they have to transfer that to the ground and make the demarcations on the ground. So sometimes they are saying the time left could help them, rather could help them to make the demarcation on the ground. Another hot point is the Abyei issue, and this is now under negotiation. and most probably it will be also solved before the referendum. Thank you.
Okay, thank you again. As you know, mainly we come here in order to know how is management according to the legislations here concerning the water management in South Africa. So as to have your experience and also to have your far management, and because there is similarity between Sudan and South Africa. But now the issues which have been raised, I think it's grossly important that to speak about Darfur conflict and the great effort which has been paid by the government of South Africa. We thank you a lot for this. And those efforts, Sam Bombiki, the past president of South Africa in the past, now and his colleagues from the leaders of Africa. Really, there is a great effort, and also you help us much, I think, and we appreciate this effort. Concerning this issue also, we think that Darfur as such, as a region from the, in Sudan, also needs more. And you, as members of the parliament and also representatives for the people of South Africa, through you, we want to say our thanks to the whole people of South Africa that you help us, and we know we need your help for the future also in order to solve the problem absolutely. I think if there is no opportunity for, to hear about the legislations concerning the water, you also you can provide us the copies or hard copies of these laws so as to be as documents with us in order to compare between your legislators and ours. Thank you very much.
I think it's quite interesting now because I will know you all came for water, but coming to the issues of one of the highlights that you gave us, I think for us it's a very interesting environment because we always say we want a better South Africa and a better South Africa, even better Africa and a better world. So that's why we always believe that we cannot seclude any conflict or any disagreement in Africa because we've got what we call part of our directive or mission is to the African agenda, where we ensure that there is peace and unity in Africa. And I will not answer your last question basically on, or comment basically on the water legislation, but in our country what we do when a legislation is tabled, the first is done, and the bill is drafted, and then we have public hearing, you know, because we are a democratic country, so we believe that people must have input to whatever bill that is tabled, because at the end of the day, that legislation is going to be, they're going to succumb under that act that will be passed. And after the public hearings have been held, then we feel that much of the people have wanted to subtract, didn't like what is said, then we try and choose it or remove it at all, because we, as I said, we're a constitutional country. And then after that has been, and there's a solid agreement, especially among the parties, then the bill is passed to parliament, and then we vote, and then majority obviously votes, and in this case the ANC, and then it's sent to the president, then it's an act, but then I think that's how we do it. I can, if I can just change, I just wanted to understand. I know we won't answer this water question, but what is the interest maybe in this water? Is it for Sudan to, I want to bring new water projects or clean water? What is it about? So that as we've requested some documents, now we can also ask our staff as well to get to everything, every legislation or piece of paper or work that has been done in asking water. And I can see the delegation has got agriculture, and here we've got agriculture, fisheries, and fisheries. So that's why I'm interested in what it was that you want to know about, so that we can ask our staff to get all those documents that we need, and then we can give you the piece of legislation and how South Africa went through this whole process. Maybe we could also get that as well. Thank you.
Chairperson, I want to speak to Mr. Kruger. Although that I am speaking to the Chief Minister, I rather will ask for another committee's work. What I'd like to know is, when it comes, of course, to we are the International Relations Committee, and you were speaking to us about we still have challenges when it comes to demarcation. You know, it would be good. Fortunately, to ask you, what are those challenges? Because if you go into a referendum, there's quite a number of issues that you have to do. For example, the registration of your voters, participating with the problem of demarcation, your campaigning, things like that. So I'd like to know that. And then, what I'm interested in. Was I read a report on, you know, situational report on Sudan, and it did say that our women in Sudan are mostly, majority are housewives. So I'd like to know, I'm very happy that two women came along with you, and one of them, I believe, is a minister. I'd like to know, when it comes to women, you know, just speak a bit to the women's rights, and how many women do you have within your following? Because you speak about the state, you speak about the national government, and then local government. Yeah, thank you.
It was not intentional that you are met with a women-only delegation. I must just say that in advance. But as the members have already said, maybe let's understand what is it that you're really interested in water and environment. Perhaps we have commissioned some of our staff members to get some documentation, and if possible, some members who are doing legislation and overseeing the implementation of that legislation in those fields, if they are around, they will be joining us shortly. But as I've already stated that we did not get the proper brief as to what issues to prepare. We didn't arrange for that. That's why we are only interested in the referendum, the state of the political state of affairs in Darfur, as we are the people who are doing oversight in that specific area. And unfortunately, in our area, we are not involved in legislation processes. We are just overseeing the implementation of our foreign policy, which has a lot to do with the consolidation of the agenda of Africa. Wherever we go, we believe that we are South Africans first. Yes, we acknowledge that, but we are also in Africa and we would want to see a better Africa. And we also understand that Africa is part of the globe. That's why we are always advancing for a better world. That is why our reappointment to the United Nations will be to take further the work that we have already initiated in making sure that, if possible, even if it does not happen in our lifetime, but the United Nations will have to be reformed at some point. But, and also your Brentwood institutions also have to change. Those are the real issues that we are advancing. We believe that the world has to change for all who live in it. It should not be a better place for some few, and others do not benefit from whatever the world has to offer. I'll now hand over to you maybe to respond or give comments on the issues of women as raised and all the other issues. I'll start here, and the gentleman behind you, and the ladies, or it's ladies. Ladies first, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. For your question about the women representatives, you see, we have already half a quota for the women in parliament. That is about 25% of the total. Plus, we have also in the geographical and also in the other, we have more than 25% in the parliament in Sudan, and even in the state parliament also, we have the same quota. Besides, we have also for the three states, we are here from three states plus our colleague from Khartoum, but in the three states we have women representatives in the Minister's Council. We have commissioners, ministers, and also wali advisor for the three states. Wali advisor, and besides, we have also director generals in the ministries. And now, we hope in the coming election, the women representation will be about 50%. And for our questions, I can leave this to my colleague to answer. We are here representing for women of Darfur. We both. Yeah, thank you.
The ladies are covered. They are now heading over to the gentlemen.
Okay, thank you. I guess women are very well presented, as you said. Anyway, concerning really in land and land reform, and we know pretty well, you know, the experience of South Africa since 17th century up to 1994. That is well understood. But we are here interested really on land reform, and especially after 1994, during this transitional time, how they manage, you know, the land and land issues. You know, it is we understand a big difference between our country and South Africa in land issues, but it's still the resource management could be one of the important, you know, experience and practices in South Africa after 1994 up to now, how they manage the resources and land ownership, and how the landlords from that time being, you know, sharing or land being owned by black, which is before, you know, they are not having land. I think it is very difficult to be to give an answer, as you say, for that you are not prepared for this. You involved in politics and foreign relations, so also I can no matter if you don't answer that, not no matter. But within constraint of Sudan and challenges, as my colleagues speak about relation between South and North, and we might be in next 3 months we might be two countries, but also maybe you hear about that four problems that which is ongoing for 7 years up to now. There is a conflict, it's a war, and also negotiation ongoing in Doha. We
agreement with the rebels and maybe end the problem, and we might not have that agreement up to that time. Also, the contribution of South Africa and other countries is it will be very welcome. As you know, the war between South and North have been ended through a CPA, that is Comprehensive Peace Agreements, with very high comprehensive talk through or by contribution of Simboya, president of Guinea at that time. They have done very well contribution. We think South Africa is not less than that. They can contribute in Darfur a lot in this conflict. Also, after the settlement, after the agreement, if the agreement be signed, after that, a conference will be done. It will be like some assessment for Darfur Jam, you know, to assess the needs of the people for development. And that is also another chance South Africa can contribute in donation or donors conference will be held for Darfur. That is one area of interest. But if we get back to the land, one of the problem of Darfur is really like conflict over resources, land and water. That is one, as Darfurians or Sudan, Holly, maybe mainly we can talk about two groups, farmers and pastoralists. And if we go back to Darfur, maybe this is 95% of the population. They are either pastoralists or farmers. So within also within the increase of population, increase of animals, you know, within lack of resources, easily conflict can be could be raised, you know. So here we think on this aspect, resource management, the way of resource management after 1994 up to now for us in Darfur is really important. And also, as I said, land reform, you know, like what kind of management or what has been done by law or other ways to get the utilization and use of the land by now. As we can see, South Africa is contributing very well in livestock and agriculture, whereby in Darfur we have maybe enough land, enough resources, but it's still our contribution is way behind than South Africa. Thank you very much.
If maybe I can just briefly comment on the land. The new administration in 2009 had five priorities. One of those is to the provision of better health care for the people of South Africa, the provision of better education. There we want to achieve the human resource that we'll be very proud of, that will take us further than where we are. Then the third one is land and rural development. It's land reform and rural development. Before 2009, that department was under land affairs and agriculture, but now we are saying land and rural development. Why do we say land and rural development? We are saying most of some of the provinces in South Africa are still rural and they have a potential to can develop in terms of making sure there's food sustainability. But the problem we have, or we had, or we still have, is land. And now the priority is to bring these two together, that maybe we were operating from 94 on a policy which was called the willing seller, willing buyer. And you would know that the bulk of the land in South Africa belonged to the minority of the people, the whites then, and the majority were dispossessed which is the blacks. Now, through this restructuring of this Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, we are trying maybe to relook into this policy, because up until now, the policy, the willing seller, willing buyer, did not really deliver the acquired results. A lot of South African people are still landless. They can't do anything, because even if you are putting them in the rural provinces, but without adequate land for them to do what they can do best, it's not helping. So that is our priority number three, and we hope that after this five-year term, we will have moved in making sure that we provide people with land so that from the land they can make their livelihoods more sustainable, and they can make sure that their generations will have something to live on and on and on. I would now give over to Honorable Sunduza, who wants also to make comment.
I think as you have answered on the issue of land, as we all know that we were once colonized for a long time, and without land there's no reform. You know, I think we all agree as well. Coming to the issue of agriculture, and we believe that as you said, that South Africa is better with livestock. I mean, during the apartheid times or before 1994, our own African people, the only way they could survive without a formal job is to have livestock agriculture. So it's a continuous process. But now, I think there's a process of urbanization. Urbanization is coming along a lot. And I don't think I also can plant any tomato tree right now. But now, because of the new Department of Agriculture that we have in forestry, because it's mainly concentrating on the, what they were promoting now in South Africa in communities is we call them backdoor gardens, whereby now we are taking our people back to the farming environment, to the plant environment, because we are saying that it's a food, we call it a food security. You know, I know we are also part, as we also know that it's also an international policy of food security. That's what we're doing now. We're saying to curb poverty, let's go back to planting maize. And government has been delivering seeds to communities. So you see those two departments of agriculture and lenders are interlinked in a way, because most of the rural people are the ones who are facing all those challenges. So it's a major problem. Even schools now, schools are having gardens, because you find that most schools, especially from a disadvantaged area, there's still a high number of poverty. Children cannot have food, but when they have those food garden projects, some they cook in schools, but others they sell the vegetables to the communities as well. So it's food security is part of our priorities very much as well. Going further on, because there's on environmental issues, we have a, what we call, do this, it's upper day, but now it's a continuous upper day, because now government is providing trees, especially in municipalities, they're providing trees, the greening, call it the greening project, whereby they provide so that people can build trees. And we are very, in terms of our environment, we are very cautious on what we do. We still protect what we believe is still valuable to South Africa. But further on, I just have a question with the Sudanese about, I know you have relations, you have formed relations with China, and I know China is the biggest growing economy now, as we speak, in terms of oil. But now, my understanding is that, do you have any cooperation with China in terms of water and environmental affairs? Because I understand that there's a social development plan from the Yangtze River to provide water and hydropower. So I just want to check, do you have that relation? But further on, to my concern, I know we cannot answer this. You see, I just want to understand broadly. Are you here on hydropower stations, or are you here in terms of clean water, or do you just want to know generally? I know my colleagues will say we are not part of it, but we just want to take these questions as well to say that as we make relations, we meet the Committee of Environment and say, of Water Environment, and say we make affect the Sudanese. These are just, I know we have our researchers here and our scribers, so we take all the questions that you are raising to say that, what is it that you would want to know so much as well, you know, because I want to go further to say that for South Africa, it might not be a question, just a brief overview, say that clean water is what we are providing to people, even to the communities now. We are trying to reach even the most rural communities, water projects and pipes, and communities that do not get water, we send trucks or tractors to bring clean water, because that's part of our plan as well. Yes, we still have places where you have challenges in terms of reaching water because of the piping or because of the setup. Because remember, as we said, that we are still a developmental country, a developing country coming from the past. You know, yes, much concentration is not urbanization, but now we are going into the most nodal areas. There were areas that were declared by that they are nodal in terms of nature. Some, they still use the old method. I think all of you would know, whereby you pour water and you pour bleach or drink, then you leave it overnight. I think you all know about that. You leave it overnight so that it can be purified in the morning. So I'm just going broadly because I know your interest, where your interest is as well. And just a comment at my end to say that as South Africans parliamentary, we are constituencies. We are members of parliament. We have constituencies. I believe you all have constituencies as well. My recent visit to my constituency was that our South African people, they would have loved my constituency. I'm not talking about your constituency. They would have loved to see a united Sudan, you know. And they do not understand the referendum. Why this referendum? Can't they just unite? Those are people of South Africa from my constituency. Can they unite? Can they talk? Yes, they've got a difference in religion and in because we must be honest as Sudanese. Some of the conflicts, religion is part of it, you know. And is it, why can't they unite? Can't they sit down? Can't they understand each other? Because we did this in South Africa. We negotiated until we have this free and democratic country. So our own people on the ground in South Africa, I just want to put this in your mind, are very concerned about Sudanese. And to them, this referendum is unnecessary to South Africans. I'm speaking about now lame South Africans. I'm not speaking about these high professionals and those professionals sitting there, the big corner there. They're just say, we are Africans, let's unite, you know. And some simply that it's colonialism is still part, but to them, although they're unfortunate, we cannot decide for the Sudanese people as well. And as Mark had said, you know, our constitution is based on values of democracy, human rights, and, you know, we are in committed to international obligations, as you've also seen, and you know our position regarding the indictment of Omar al-Bashir. I think you're very aware of South Africa's position into that. I think I've said a lot. Thank you.
Honorable Malgan, thank you. I want to ask Lindsay and that young lion sitting there, because you could hear given the position when it comes to human rights that is enshrined within our Bill of Rights. What I'd like to say when it comes to unity will be very important to you. Because remember, you know, look at South Africa's one country. If we were divided, then it means we have soft borders in between. And trade, you know, countries, same people, should meet trading with each other. You know, it's a bit difficult having a passport badge to get into the other country. So I think, you know, I would like to enforce that unity will be important to you. Then too, when it comes to the water issues, you have the Nile River. And the South, I think, in the South is, you know, the source of the Nile. And it will be important because, you know, within Africa, we are discussing corresponding waters, where you can use waters from other countries. And I think it will be important to few people to unite. Just that you can use that source as our. Because if, like we know, like in South Africa, we are unitary states. We are not a federal state. Because if we were federal, then the one province, you know, the one state would have paid for the water coming from the other state. And I think you people have to move towards unity. That a person don't still have these complications, you know, where charges are put on things coming from the south to the north or the north to the south. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, those were the comments from the South African delegation, but we believe that solutions for Sudanese problems must come from the Sudanese themselves. We can't import solutions for you. You have to solve your problems. All we can do is to give you the necessary support. But we would love to see a resolution to your problems and move forward to the development of your country for the betterment of your life and your children and your great-great-children. I'll now hand over to you to comment. Or perhaps whilst you are still caucusing, let's break for a 5-minute tea break, and then when we come back, we'll resume our discussion. Is that in order? Just 5 minutes, we have tea outside, and then we come back and comment. And maybe by then, we would have got someone from our colleagues who are in, either in water affairs or environmental, maybe to just give you a short briefing on how they handle things. Thank you. Let's go out and have tea.
Groundwater and the rain. On that area, we have done a little, but we need the help of South Africa and other communities and other international institutions to help us on that. 2 days ago, we have talked with the Department of Water and Environmental Affairs here in South Africa, and we see that our challenges is more or less similar. So we pointed so many areas that we can cooperate and work together in this area and exchange knowledge and know-how to upgrade our use in and management of the water, either in Sudan or in South Africa. But there are four very crucial areas that it needs action immediately. And these areas are watershed management. This is one area which we think that if we can do some work on that, this will help a lot to increase our water in Sudan. Also, there is another thing which is institutional and legislation forms, institutional framework, because lastly, we have two levels or three levels of institutions which work on the water side, which is the federal level, the state level, and the users down into that. So we need a very good institutional framework. So we need the help of South Africa on this field. Also, the field of water harvesting and the techniques and use of this water harvesting and programs. This is, we see that in South Africa, this is more advanced than anywhere where I have been. So we need the help of South Africa in this field also. And the fourth field is the research work and study of the assessment of the resources and so forth. And of course, any development without research cannot go forward. And South Africa, I think, is very advanced on this side. So these are the four areas which we need the help of South Africa. And we hope that this can be taken forward and be in action on ground soon as possible. This is our need on the side of water. If I can go back to some of the questions which have been raised this morning about the involvement of China in Sudan or the help of China in Sudan about the water, I say that they have some involvement in helping us in Sudan. We have the Chinese loan. This loan is meant for supplying drinking water, drilling holes in some of the areas, and also supplying for Sudan water from the Nile through a pipeline. And also they have done some work before. They helped or they went as consult as the contractors in Marawi Dam, and now they are working as contractors in the hiking of the Sherik Dam, and they are doing some bridges on the Nile itself. So they have been involved in some help, but they are not involved in these areas as I mentioned, especially the research. So this is what we want from South Africa to get in and help us on that side. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairman. Actually, we are very pleased what we have heard from you, although you are not the committee targeted. But what we have seen, heard from you is very pleasing. And I'm in my capacity as the Speaker of the Senate Legislative Council, I would like to invite you to visit Darfur State, actually, to stand on what is going in Darfur, because you have been heard about Darfur crisis, and also to rely on what we are doing in legislative and legislation so as to support our programs in Darfur. Thank you very much, and we come to the next.
On behalf of the delegation, I would also like to take this opportunity to thank you very much for tolerating us, even though we did not give you the actual issues or respond to the actual issues you were here for, but we making an undertaking that we will write a report and send it to both the Department of International Relations and the Portfolio Committee on Water Affairs and Environmental Affairs in the Parliament of South Africa, and make sure that the issues, if possible, are followed up and you are given the necessary support by the Republic of South Africa, which has already begin or started the process of making sure that you get the necessary support. I thank you and enjoy the rest of your day.